Happy Friday morning on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper. We're JoeBucksFan.com, and we present the man of the hour, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the man whose podcast, this podcast, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, is ranked, I think, 34th in the nation as of today on Google Play, Ira. You're just killing George Stephanopoulos and all these other big names out there. Rush Limbaugh's Morning Minute is like 50th, but now the sage of Tampa Bay sports. And Ira, before we get into the game and before we talk about our surroundings here, let's, of course, thank Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon for their presentation. But Ira, what do you think of this? Your national ranking here.
Take that, Rush. Take that. And I'm also taller than George Stephanopoulos. How do you like that? And I can't say that about too many people. I am humbled. I am absolutely humbled at this showing. My heartfelt feelings towards Buck Nation for supporting this podcast. I think it's getting better and better. We love to hear from the feedback, Steve. And we do listen. And we make the necessary adjustments. You wish some of the Buck coaches were making necessary adjustments during Buck games, Steve, especially after a travesty like tonight. We're 2 hours removed from the game, Lee, and I still can't believe what just happened out here in front of a national television audience. 87 people from the NFL Network, like they don't have enough people with a Deion Sanders coming out of the woodwork. And it's a game that was right there for the taking. And you know what, Steve? Bucks came up short. Gonna have to live with it.
Well, Ira, look, let's get back to this national ranking here on Google.
Look at this. He wants to talk about the rankings.
Well, because, Ira, this is big news.
It's,
you know,
huge.
So like,
first of all, give DeCamper credit. He stumbled upon this. It knocked him off his easy chair. His cat flew out of his hands.
No, I don't do cats.
All right, so Lee Fiennes on his phone, on his app for Google Play, which is a newer podcast platform, but still a big one. He finds and sees your ranking.
Why the hell is DeCamper scrolling through this?
The national charts. Yeah, just taking a look at the podcast.
Yeah, I was looking to see if there's any podcast I want to listen to or, you know, subscribe to. And I'm sitting there thumbing through. All of a sudden, I see your graphic. Like, wait a minute. And I look. And I was like, this is supposed to be overall. That's not sports. And I look again, double checked like 3 or 4 times. And sure enough, it was all genres, all subject matter.
Now, that's only one particular podcast, right, Steve?
No. That's the podcast overall. That's not by episode like you would find on iTunes. It's podcasts in general, right? So Lee tells me, and I'm like, something's got
to
be wrong.
Yeah, and
there.
I show it to him.
That makes sense.
Maybe I gained 12 people in Zanzibar or something. Well, it put me over the top.
It made no sense, you know, on their platform. I mean, come on, let's try to be real here. You know, I know you're the sage, but let's be realistic. So
you checked it.
I pull it up on my machine at home, and I realize, okay, there it is. I was 36th in the nation, and I'm like, you know, something's wrong here, right? So I'm like, maybe Google has got my favorites in here somehow. They're sort of playing with my browser or whatever.
It's
so,
a false reading.
So I log out. I check it somewhere else. I drive to the Dunedin Library. I check it out there. There you are. You're still there. I can't get rid of you. And you even climbed up in the last couple of days a couple of notches. So you know what? We can legitimately sit here and say all week long, you're one of the most popular podcasts in the country. Now, I know this, obviously, it'll take about 10 hours for you to ask for a raise. But It's quite an honor, Ira, and we're going to try to milk this for all it's worth.
I'm not humbled very often, Mr. DeCamper, except on the tennis court once in a while. But it was stunning when you told me that. I thought you were kidding. That, hey, you're nationally ranked. You know, we think of this as a, you know, local podcast with a local football team that hasn't been setting the world on fire, certainly, from little Tampa Bay. And you know what, gentlemen? We're going to keep going and make it even better. I'm taking aim on you know, whoever's ahead of me.
Well, I just
they're gonna get knocked over like 10 pins.
What knocked me over was the fact that you were rated over George Stephanopoulos.
I like
for
that.
Those people who don't know, George Stephanopoulos is a former cabinet member with Bill Clinton. Was he communications director?
I think he was.
And now
he's got his own show.
His own morning news show.
Good Sunday morning America. He's on. Yeah.
Yes, obviously he's well known nationally. He's ABC News. In some respects, he's the face of ABC News. And here he has this significant platform where his face is known by millions and millions and millions of people, yet his podcast, and you know there's a lot of political wonks out there, they would rather listen to Ira talk about the Bucks.
I guess Stephanopoulos can't break down a two deep zone defense, Steve, so he better brush up on it.
I did notice ahead of you were some naughty podcasts that I sampled just for the flavor of it. But you know,
you want to see what we should shoot for.
I learned a little bit about woman to woman love, and so I got it enhanced a little bit.
Lingerie.
cigarette. All right. Of course, Ira, your
what's the Bill O'Reilly? Oofa.
The loofah, yeah.
Loofah, yeah.
Your podcast is also found on Podbean, on iTunes, and various other platforms. And of course, Ira, 70 years of Ed Morse, Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, 70 years of the Ed Morse family of car dealerships across Florida. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon specifically present all your work on JoeBucksFan.com. Right now, as people are listening to this, they can look at your 10 takeaways from tonight's game where you go into a little different detail. We're not going to hit all 10 in this podcast. Right now, all the new October offers are up at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
And Lee and I had a good time over at the Alfa Romeo last week.
Yeah, and that's the whole Ed Morse Cadillac compound over in Brandon, the whole Ed Morse family compound on Causeway Boulevard. Just tremendous service at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. I'm taking a look at 2017 XT5 luxury, $449 a month, sign and drive, zero down. The sign and drive scene is back, and I love the sign and drive for those leases. Check them out, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. So, Ira, here we are at the game. We are in the stadium, in the bowels of the stadium. It's just about 2 a.m., and this was a real groin stomp of a loss in a lot of ways. We go through these as Buccaneers fans. A lot happened in this game. Let her rip, Ira.
I'll tell you one of the first groin stomps of the night. The Pats are not that good, and they didn't play that well. That's the real killer. 12 penalties, Lee? That's not a Belichick team.
No.
The Bucs won the turnover battle, 2-0. Am I wrong? They didn't commit a turnover for the second straight week. Give them pluses for that. When you're plus two, Lee, and the other team makes 12 penalties, you're supposed to win that game, and your defense is playing its heart out. Now, let's throw out some props, because it's not going to take long. Doug Martin, you get some credit. You look very good, supplied a little energy. You were better than I thought you were going to be, especially in game one. Pass rush, much better, I thought. Not just the sacks, constant pressure, where there's been too many games like the Case Keenan game when there was no pressure. And I didn't think the pass rush was particularly good against Eli Manning either. Guys, look who they faced this year. Mike Glennon, Case Keenum, Eli Manning, and Tom Brady. Now, Brady might be the best there ever was, but none of the four of them are going to be confused with Russell Wilson or Cam Newton in terms of elusiveness. They're not.
Okay, okay.
They're not.
Okay.
But the pass rush, I thought, was a lot better tonight, and I got to give a lot of the credit to the inside guys. McCoy, who's had a very good season. McCoy's had a very good season. McDonald, who I think continues to outplay Chris Baker. And tell
Although
me
Baker made a hell of a play.
And Baker made some plays.
Yeah.
So the inside pressure was good. DeSean Jackson showed up in the second half.
Yes.
In the second half. But it's overshadowed by the negatives. The negatives. Now, of course, Nick Folk is the obvious culprit. He had some help, but he's the big-time culprit.
Jameis for three quarters is not good.
Not good. The play calling left a lot to be desired, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans had a very quiet night. I'm a little surprised on a national stage.
Belichick,
I'm a little surprised.
I was at Belichick's press conference. He spoke briefly, and for him, briefly is a soliloquy for most of us. He basically said the big free agent cornerback they got.
Gilmore?
Yeah, he thought he covered Evans
toasted,
very well.
Has been toasted up to tonight.
Up till tonight. Yes. He said he thought he guarded Evans very well.
You know, and Brate made another sensational catch. I mean, now, Brate was destroyed after the game. He didn't think he played particularly well.
Well, he did drop a touchdown.
And he also said the offense didn't do its part, and he's right about
that,
too. For
three quarters, yes.
But that was a sensational touchdown catch by Brate. They had him sandwiched. You could argue that he's been the Bucs' best offensive player this year. You could. But, Steve, let's get to the chase of it. And we're going to talk about Folk, I know, but...
Let's not get to the chill. We can't just gloss over these things you're throwing
out. Hold on, I got one
here.
More point I want to make, and then you...
Throwing things out there like it's the Ten Commandments.
Then you
here.
Come back to me.
As 15.
As I said.
Ten Commandments.
As I said in my takeaway.
Continue.
Don't be fooled by Winston's final stats. He wasn't good enough.
No, first three quarters.
He wasn't good enough, Steve. They need better play from Jameis Winston. He says it, but he says that after every game. Even if he plays well, he says it. I'd like to hear Cutter say it. I think Winston can take it. I think he's going to go into a sulk. Lee, Jameis Winston's got to play better.
He does, and there's no doubt about it. Like I said, 109 yards through three quarters. The Patriots handed this game to the Bucs several times on a silver platter, and the Bucs offense threw up on that silver platter. And now, mind you, I'm going to go back briefly, you were talking about players that played well. You omitted one guy who really showed up. Obviously, he showed up early, but he did not embarrass himself at all. And I kind of think he may have played his way into a starter's role. His name is Justin Evans.
Well, Justin Evans.
Justin Evans did very well. Got that nice pick on Brady, which was the first pick. And
that was a
how
bad
many
pass.
Games?
Steve, that was a bad pass.
That was a bad pass. It was a hell of a catch.
Well, it was a hell of a catch, and he was in the right place at the right
time. Ira, Ira, Ira. I don't even know what to do with you.
What do you mean, what to do?
A bad pass. So who cares? If every interception's a bad pass.
All right, let's not go crazy. Hit 30 out of 40 passes, gentlemen.
I'm glad you brought me right to there, Ira, because that's why I'm going crazy. I got a whole stack of notes already.
Look, when he writes stuff down, we're in trouble,
but
Ira.
It's Tom Brady.
This is my point. This plays to my point. You're telling me the pass rush was better. Brady threw 30 out of 40. That's 75%.
That's because he's Brady.
That's because he doesn't throw 75%. You know when he throws 75%, Ira? You know when he does that? When there's not much pass rush and he can stand back there and fire away. And that's what he did tonight. Yes, the interior rush was better, but there is still nothing off the edge on this team. Nothing. And you know what? I'm seeing a lot of fans disagreeing, not saying they're 100% disagreeing with me. They're disagreeing with each other. But there is just not an edge rush on this team.
I can't argue with that.
And come on, 30 for 40. So if there was a decent pass rush, are you telling me from your mind that the coverage just sucked out there?
Well, some coverage wasn't very good. I mean, Hargraves is struggling, gentlemen.
Hargraves is struggling. He's regressing.
Terrible. He's terrible. He's been terrible through four games. This is a guy who was supposed to take a leap up.
Boy, I'm really shocked because I ticketed to Hargraves as he was going to be the most improved buck this year.
I thought so, too.
Beckwith's playing his ass off.
Oh,
Beckwith looks tremendous.
Special player. I mean, look at the stage. I mean, the guy's still coming back from a knee injury. He's playing every snap, two games in, what, 5 days? He had how many solo tackles today or something?
12 solo tackles.
Justin Evans, he did not just embarrass himself, I thought. He had 8 solo tackles. Wasn't perfect, but he looked like a starter, like Lee said.
Yes, he looked like a starter.
He looked like a starter. He showed his athleticism, which is why he was drafted. And we heard all last year, how complicated Mike Smith's defense is. Complicated defense, disguising coverages.
Takes a lot of time.
Takes time. Communication. Justin Evans walks in at safety, pressed into duty, no problem.
Same with Beckwith, first game of the year.
No problem.
Let me give Buck fans some good news here, and I mentioned it in my column, but let me throw it out there.
With the new kickers coming?
No. I went up to Levante David, who didn't play, in the locker room. He was at his locker, and I pointed to Beckwith, who was 2 stalls down, and I said to David, that's a player. And David goes, man, what a player. Then Quan Alexander came by, and I said, now, this is verbatim. I go up to Alexander. I go, I'm not talking to you anymore. He goes, what? What do you mean you're not talking to me anymore? I go, you told me after the Chicago game, I'm fine, I'm beautiful, I'm all set, you know, to go to Minnesota. He goes, I was. But I guess he retweaked it during the week. So he's still claiming that what he told me was the truth. Anyway, the good news, both David and Alexander, take it for what it's worth, said they will be back for Arizona. And that makes sense. They got a little extra time to heal up. That's going to help. That is going to help because that's a heck of a linebacker core when healthy. When you add
maybe the best in the NFL.
Man, it's good.
So, excuse me, will they be playing in Arizona? Or are they just going? Because the last time I
golf in Scottsdale.
The last time I was there, I went, not with you, sorry. The last time I was at a game there last year, I went to this fantastic bar where they had like a bull riding and these women riding the bull. And it was just, maybe they're going
quarters
for
in over there? Steve?
No.
Wait to see what falls out?
No, they weren't topless, Ira. This was a live music.
Quarters? What kind of low rent joint is that? Quarters.
I was talking Times Square Peep Show back in 59.
Hey, don't knock it. It got me through high school. All right. So they said they're going to be back. And if that's true, the Bucs aren't in bad shape going into the second quarter season.
I'm shocked with you, Ira. Shocked, I tell you.
Shocked.
He brings up Arizona, and you don't start ragging on him about his driving.
No, I've milked that for all it's worth. Now, you have a problem with me ragging on Winston a little bit?
No. But this isn't off subject at all, but it does create something interesting. Just to plant a seed for the many, many fans who love to project how the roster plays out. There, no team in the NFL, Ira, pays three linebackers big money. No team does that. You don't pay three linebackers. If Beckwith is the real deal, if he's the real deal, that means Quan Alexander and or Quan or Levante is not going to be on this team.
Well, Alexander's not going anywhere. Nowhere.
Well, then it's Levante who's my point is, again, no team pays three linebackers huge dollars.
Especially the Bucs, because the strong side linebacker has always been a rather anonymous spot.
So it's just kind of interesting. If you think about in 3 years, if Beckwith needs a new big deal because he's a stud, that probably means the end of Levante David's Buccaneers career. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting.
What are you, a capologist over here?
These kinds of problems we don't have, but it's interesting to think about given what we're watching. All right, Ira, the elephant in the room. And he's not just an elephant.
Yes.
He's an elephant with diarrhea.
I know I got a big gut, but geez.
He's an elephant that is just horrendous. I need to hear your sage wisdom, your genius, your beet salad-fueled mind, Nick Folk. What the hell's going on here?
I'll boil it down very simply, gentlemen, with four words. He's got to go. He's got to go. I take no pleasure in saying that. He's got to go.
None of us.
Why does he have to go? Because 52 other players are watching. And Folk's a big boy. He knows this is a production business. He's not producing. How many times does Cutter have to say, that guy has to make his kicks? Whoever the kicker is, he's got to make his kicks. You cut him a break on the one by halftime. I mean, that's a long shot. I understand that. That's a chip shot. That's a chip shot kick. You got to make it, Steve. Especially after Cutter showed so much faith in him on Sunday. And he made a chip shot. Steve, this is a problem going forward. They got to bring other guys in. They got to.
Ira, I don't disagree with you, but as much as I respect Dirk Cutter, we refer to him as winning Bucks coach Dirk Cutter because he's been the first coach since Chucky's been around that knows how to put together a winning team, has an idea of what he's doing. I got to lay this 50% of the blame on Cutter. Why was Cutter trotting him out there when every person in this stadium, including people with six beers in and Miller Lights, knew that this guy was going to choke? He knew everybody and their brother knew.
The last one?
The 31-yard, yeah. I was sitting next to Gary Shelton, Roy Cummings, Gary Shelton.
Well, were two scores down, Lee. Got to get a score.
Well, it was fourth and two.
Okay.
You got a big guy like Jameis. Doug Martin's running well. You got all these receivers you can throw short passes to. You're bringing out this guy. Everybody knew this guy was going to tank the kick.
Steve,
that's on Cutter.
Steve, with all due respect to the Kemper, our comrade.
Don't talk to me. He's right there. All due respect to him. Look at him.
Lee, I think that's a classic second guess because isn't that maybe the same distance that he made the game winner on Sunday?
Yeah, he made that by what, 3 inches?
And Cutter called it a chip shot. So it's a chip shot. It's an extra point, right? You got to make it.
Well,
and you're two scores down.
See, I think
he didn't make it.
See, I think you got to make it. And what Cutter says, he's being paid to make it. No, Dirk. You're being paid to make smart decisions. That's a cop-out saying, well, he's being paid to make it. If he's being paid to make it, how come he isn't making it?
So you're saying you didn't like the call before he kicked.
Yes, I even said it up in the press. Well, we're in the press box. And Roy Cummings and Gary Shelton to my right, I'm like, no, you go forward on fourth and two. You don't bring Folk out there. We all know what's going to happen. And Gary Shelton, no, this is the right call. And even after the kick was missed, Gary Shelton said, no, Lee, that's the right call. I said, Gary, you knew he was going to make that. That's like bringing in a relief pitcher you know is getting lit up time and time again. You bring him in a pressure situation. You don't do that.
All right, here's the best way to put it, Steve. If the Kemper's right, and maybe he is, but if he's right, you know what it means? You got to get another kicker.
Thank you.
That's what it means. Because you're two scores down. The play that every coach would make is bring my guy in for the chip shot. We're within a touchdown. If you don't have that confidence, you got to get another kicker.
Well, also Cutter will say, and he probably did, like I said, I was at Belichick's press conference. I wasn't at Dirk's. But I'm sure he said he was going with the percentages. Well, a guy that can't make a field goal, can't hit the broadside of a barn, that skewers your percentages. That's the outlier.
Lee,
that's
career,
not the norm.
He's a career 90% kicker from 30 to 39.
And 2 years ago, Adrian Peterson was in the Pro Bowl. I rest my case.
Well, let me just clarify the record. I had to look it up. That's why I was squirming around here, Ira. After Evan Smith had the illegal use of the hands, the Bucs had 3rd and 13. Jameis throws incomplete. It's 4th and 13 on the New England 13. and they trot out Folk for the 31-yard field goal.
What was the one I'm thinking of? It was fourth and two when they went for a field goal.
I'm not exactly sure what you're thinking about, but it was the 31-yarder that obviously he has to make. Fourth and 13.
That's not even a decision.
It's not even a decision.
Okay, yes, yes. Fourth and 13 is a whole different animal. I'm thinking, for whatever reason, I'm thinking fourth and two.
There was a fourth and two earlier, very early in the fourth quarter. That's when they brought out Folk.
Yeah,
for a 49-yarder.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
That's
of.
The one you're thinking.
That's the one, of. Right. So on third down, and I'm sure this, because I've heard Cutter say this before, not saying I agree with it whatsoever, but I've heard him say this on radio shows, actually heard him say this off camera once. Third and two, the Buccaneers ran Doug Martin, off right guard, no gain. Cutter's of the mindset, he said this before, if you can't do it on third down, don't tell me I can do it on fourth down. And so he goes for the field goal. I don't agree with it. You still needed the points, and Folk stinks.
And it's 49 yards.
And it's 49 yards. But that's what he did. But to me, if you draft a quarterback number one overall, and he's the greatest thing on the rise.
The face of your franchise.
Since sliced bread. And you got all these weapons. You got a clutch tight end. We all know the names and the faces and whatever. Why don't you put the ball in that guy's hands other than the guy with the club foot? You know, I don't get it. And I disagree with you in one point, Ira. I am happy to say, get out of here, Nick Folk. I don't care. He's already getting paid. I don't have to feel bad for the guy. He can go buy a farm. Michael Kanan can't kick anymore. He raises beef in Washington.
He did a heck of an impression of me.
That's why I was trying to call him and get him on the podcast. And I found out that he owns a farm. He raises cattle in Walla Walla, Washington or something. It's out in the States.
You already got Gruden doing an impression of me. Now you want Michael Kanan? Well, who's next? Dungy?
Sap. I was trying to talk to Sap.
Sap. Now, but hold on, guys.
So, new kicker. We all agree, new kicker next game?
He's got to go.
Real quick about the new kicker. You know, everybody in Tampa Bay area couldn't wait to get rid of Aguayo. Last year, he kicked 72%, and that was horrible. Well, Mr. Feudal Folk, Clubfoot, you call him, Steve. I like that, Clubfoot, 65%.
And, guys, one thing we do have to mention. I mean, it's critical that we mention it. This does not look good on Jason Light's resume. It doesn't look good.
It's horrible. I mean, it's a circus.
Not
really
only did he draft Aguayo, but he signed Nick Folk. So now, you know, and Nick Folk had a long history of distinguished play, but he hasn't worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this – what you said about Folk is true. When people signed him, we all assumed Aguayo's on very thin ice because Folk has a resume. But Folk has been worse than Aguayo. I mean – you know, I don't know who I was talking to. Was it you, Steve, I was talking to at halftime? I was talking to someone like, oh, you know, the grass might be bad in Tampa Bay. Well, you better deal with it because they ain't going to change.
Steve, can you imagine some of the discussions behind closed doors between Cutter and Light? I mean, what the heck's going on? Cutter says the kickers are costing me wins. They're costing this franchise wins.
I don't know.
They both have to answer to the Glazers.
Well, right? So the Glazers, right? You were stalking them at halftime and doing your thing. So let's go this way. Jason Light walks into one of the Glazers' offices tomorrow, right? The Glazers are in town tonight. Big family event, probably a big party tomorrow somewhere. And they meet with Light on Friday or Saturday. And they say, Jason, what's the deal with the kickers? What do you think the problem is and what's going on here? Why can't we get a kicker? What does he say?
He doesn't have a good answer. He just doesn't have a good answer. They have to be furious. About the kicking situation. They have to. Now, thank God, Folk made last week's, the Giants kick, which he barely made. Certainly didn't split the uprights by a long shot. They got to be furious. National television, Malcolm's going into the Ring of Honor. Patriots, big bad Patriots are in town. The defense plays their butts off. You lose the game, you know.
So what does he say? What does he say? It's my scouts.
He says we're going to straighten it out.
Does he blame his scouting department? Does he fall on the sword? Does he say, look, guys, it's just bad luck. All these guys know how to kick.
No, if Light blames the scouting department, that's on Light. He can't blame the scouting
department. Well, then what's the fix? Maybe, I mean, I'm not being facetious here because the situation is so dire. Does Jason Light possibly say, look, I think folks are going to snap out of it. I obviously don't know how the hell to pick a kicker.
He's great in practice.
So why should I go out and pick a kicker when I couldn't pick Kyle Brinza, and I didn't know what to do with Connor Barth, and I spent a second-round pick on a guy who was mentally weak, and I go out and sign Folk, and he craps the bed. Jason Light doesn't know how to pick a kicker, so why should he go get a new one? Maybe he just stands pat.
Wow.
Do you think there's any chance that that happens?
No, I mean, you know, it's up to Light and the special teams coach, you know, to get together and bring somebody in that's going to get the job done. It's not too late. This season is not lost.
Okay.
And DeKemper might be back on the ledge like he was after the Minnesota game. I understand that.
Oh, I was on the ledge.
But there's no reason to be on the ledge on 2-2.
Now, we just...
They're going to Arizona. Who the heck are the Cardinals? They ain't nothing. They're an average team. Now, we said that last year, and the Bucs didn't show up. Look, if the Bucs get some of these guys back, and I mean these two linebackers, and if they can find an average kicker, they don't have an average kicker, Lee. Get an average kicker and move on.
Just drive a couple blocks up north here to Jesuit High School or call the Rowdies up.
I saw Jay Feely out here. I thought he was going to run up to Light Suite first for a second.
I do have to, you know, here's a couple things. There was something else about the kicker I want to talk about, but I'll bring this up. You know, you invoked Light here and how this is all, you know, in Light's lap with this kicking charade since he got here. Since he got here, it's been a freaking revolving door of kickers, bad kickers, all of them. What's the other common denominator?
Keep going.
Nate Kazor. So, Steam's coach. Is he blameless in all this? Is he a kicking coach?
I don't know. I really can't figure this Folk thing out. The guy is Mr. Steady all these years. Now he can't make a chip shot.
It was a very interesting thing in Hard Knocks. I wish I had it in front of me. I might have to go dig at it out of my DVR. It's probably worth doing it. But after Aguayo missed one of his kicks, Nate Katzer, he talks to Aguayo. Something technique-wise, and said, remember we talked about this, your Russian X or whatever it was, and it really didn't jibe with anything we had heard from the Bucks, because everything the Bucks always said about Aguayo was, oh, it's only mental, it's mental, he makes him in practice, he knows what he's doing, but there was Katzer on film saying that it was something mechanical.
Yeah.
Physical, I got to go back and pull that up.
I remember that little piece, yeah.
I don't know who's to blame here. Katzer's been here with two of the kickers. The common denominator is Light, because they had others. Lovey had his own special
teams
Nate? Guy.
Okay, I thought Nate was here with Lovey.
No, Lovey had his guy, the guy from the Bears, the short, white-haired, bald guy.
Oh, I remember. O'Brien or something like that?
I forget his name.
Irish dude, right?
Ira? Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. All right, Ira. As far as Jason Light, one thing we cannot blame him for is just the basics of play calling and catching the football and a quarterback throwing the football. I mean, you can't blame that on Light. And here we saw in this game, to me, a big difference in this game was DeSean Jackson's wide open, 45 yards down the field. He's got his man beat by probably 4 yards, and Jameis overthrows him. And this is why we signed the guy. We signed the guy to get open deep and take that deep shot, home run ball, change the offense. Jameis can't change the offense if he can't hit DeSean Jackson deep. We're going to start to see teams challenge Jameis to throw the deep ball since he obviously is struggling with it. I pulled up a stat, Ira. You're going to laugh. I don't know if you saw it on JoeBucksFit.com yesterday.
Oh, I know where he's going. But hold on to something, Ira.
The NFL has this next generation data, which is the chips in the footballs and chips in the gear. And they're starting to publish more of this data. If you know where to find it, they kind of bury it. But anyway.
Brace yourself, Ira.
All right.
So they chart throws. Not completions, the actual distance of the throws. And Jameis's throws 20-plus yards, not good. He's bad completion rate, 3 picks, 2 touchdowns. Josh McCown and throws of 20-plus yards.
Oh, my God.
Is better than Jameis.
Told you to
brace
yourself.
That's enough said.
So this is a problem. It's not just a joke. We saw it tonight. Probably cost him a game.
You know, until Jackson – Steve.
How do you fix this?
Until Jackson's 40 – it was a 41-yarder, I think, which was, you know, he got open.
The catch and run, yeah.
Yeah, catch and run, 41 yards. He was almost gone.
Yeah.
He was almost gone. That's the first time this year that I really – saw DeSean Jackson speed with the football, with the football.
And a game.
But my point is, until that 41-yarder, which came late, he didn't have a completion of over 20 yards. He didn't have it.
Wow.
So last week they did well on explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Tonight they reverted back to form, which was not enough explosive plays. Again, O.J. Howard, you know, minimal. Godwin, minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Evans. I'm disappointed.
Well, Belichick had said he was covered well. So, you know, the guy that the Patriots spent a lot of money on as a free agent, who's been disappointing thus far.
Winston is not playing terrible, guys. I don't think anybody could say he's playing terrible.
Uneven.
But he's playing average or mediocre. And the first pick in the draft's not supposed to be mediocre. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah,
in year three.
Your buddy Chris Russo, Mad Dog Russo of SiriusXM Radio, I think he described him perfectly. He's up and down. He's uneven. He's up and down. Steve, when you're talking about, you know, DeSean Jackson not getting targeted, I can't remember the specific play. I want to say it was the first quarter. He was down the left sideline. Jameis just tunnel vision. Mike Evans forced a ball to Mike Evans. Didn't get there, of course. DeSean Jackson had a guy beat by 4 or 5 yards. He's got his arms up in the air with the expression of, what the F? Because he's like, dude, can't you see me? I'm wide open, which he was. He was wide open down the left sideline, had his man beat by about 4 yards, and Jameis had tunnel vision on Mike Evans, tried to force the ball. And you could just imagine what DeSean Jackson was saying, even though we weren't on the field.
And Steve, I hope I'm not saying this for the next 6 weeks. I've already said it every week for 4 weeks, Lee, and I'm going to keep saying it. Not enough deep balls. Not enough deep balls to Evans. Not enough deep balls to Jackson.
Well, you go
not
back
enough.
To, well, there might be.
I don't care that he missed Jackson on that when he was open. I want more.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Jackson wasn't targeted enough. He had 9 targets tonight. He was targeted quite a bit. Jameis just can't seem to hit him. Quick question for you, Ira. Yeah, give me a yes or no. When you watch Jameis throw to DeSean Jackson, do you see a tentative quarterback, a guy worried about being too careful with the football?
I think there's something to that. He might be trying to still gauge the speed. I don't know why this is such a big problem. These guys have been together since OTAs started.
Yeah.
Can't you get a rhythm down?
Well, sometimes it might help if you attend all the OTAs.
I understand, yeah. Swaggy. I understand. I think I know what you're getting at, Steve. It's not a free and easy motion when he's throwing to DeSean Jackson.
It doesn't seem to be, and I agree with you.
Not like when he throws a break.
Yeah, or to Mike Evans, and I agree with you. I don't get it. I will never get it. Mike Evans, he's not, you know, running through mud. No, he's not a burner. But if you get him one-on-one, throw the jump ball. He's going to come down with a majority of them. He's good with his hands. You've yelled for months.
Screamed about flags.
Get the flag, get the flag, get the flag. Throw him the deep ball. He's capable.
I don't care if Gilmore's on him. I don't care.
I don't care either. I just don't get it. The play caller, Dirk Koetter, give me a grade, Ira, for his play calling tonight.
Tonight or on the season?
Tonight.
Tonight? D. I'll give him a D. Not good enough.
Lee, you think that's
fair? Not imaginative enough. And he didn't run it enough, in my opinion, in a game where you were pretty close the entire game.
Last week I would have given him a D for just for that dumb pitch he called on first and goal in one-foot line. Tonight, I'm one of these people. I'm hesitant to always say play calling because I don't know what he's seeing. I don't know the tendencies that a defense is showing. You know, everybody says, well, a guy got to call such and such. Well, such and such might get you a 10-yard loss because the defense is ready for it. So I'm uncomfortable with answering that question only because I'm uncomfortable knocking play calls unless it's something blatantly obvious like that pitch I mentioned.
I guess I'm looking for a little more imagination, Steve. I'm looking for a little more imagination. And he's proven in the past to be very imaginative. And creative.
Well, I think he's a good play caller. He's got an excellent resume. I don't know about imaginative and creative. I still don't think, because I really don't have any recall on it, I don't think we've ever seen any kind of gadget or trick play from Dirk Koetter in a game. I cannot recall once at all. He's
a preseason game once.
Flea flick or something, yeah.
He had a jet sweep with DeSean Jackson. Jackson.
I don't know if that classifies as but, yeah, I'll even so, it's preseason.
Yeah, it's preseason. I'll answer your question. Just for on 4th and 2, not going for it when you got a kicker who can't hit water, he fell off the boat in the Gulf, a D, just for that alone.
So, Ira, Doug Martin, okay, you touch, you touched on it in your opening sage monologue, if we want to call it that.
As a positive.
Yeah. Doug Martin, look, guy had a great comeback tonight. Guy had an excellent comeback. You know, it's funny because so many readers, and I appreciate that they're having so much fun with this, they really think that Lee and I, and maybe you by default,
they're chopping
Isbeth. Well, they think we really hate Doug Martin, which is just so funny because there's nothing's further from the truth.
The way you read the situation, you thought it was doubtful.
Not sitting there rooting against the guy, and I'm also not sitting here thinking the guy is the second coming because he had, 14 carries for 70 yards or whatever it was. It's a long season, and I'm not changing my personal evaluation of Doug Martin, but I'm glad he was able to contribute tonight. And
he ran with a purpose.
He ran. Yeah. He ran well.
And Lee, I'm going to give you my word for the night. It's 2:30 in the morning, but I'll give it to you. He was slithery. He was slithery. That adjective's been used on you a few times, Isbeth. when the bill came out at the table, but he looked like he had a lot of energy, and he was one determined. And by the way, guys, the holes were pretty good.
The holes were pretty good.
For Doug. I thought Marpet was doing a sensational job because he was running Sweezy between the tackles and Sweezy. That's right.
Yeah, he definitely had some big holes to work with early.
Now, as far as the play calling, I'll get back to that real quick. This is Martin related. Obviously, I monitor Twitter heavily during games, maybe too heavily. And people were screaming, "Where's Doug Martin? Where's Doug Martin? Where's Doug Martin?" You kind of said the same thing, Ira. Well, we got to remember, people, he had a grand total of 3 practices in the past month.
I didn't say, "Where's Doug Martin?" I said, "Where's a running back? Give Barber the ball. I don't care."
Sure. By the way, I hope you played a lot, because your boy Chucky Sims got a first down run.
Oh, you're killing me with Sims.
So I mean, my gosh,
how many carries for Barber, Steve?
I didn't even see the first down run by Sims.
Barber, what did he get?
Barber didn't play. Did not carry the football.
Did the guy not play well in against Chicago? Did we see a mirage?
It is very curious.
He did nothing last week.
Munkin came out, and I think it was before the. I forget which game. It was either before the Vikings game. I think he came out and said, "We're going to see more Peyton Barber." It didn't happen. And then we still like Peyton. And then he didn't show up. So it's a little bit curious.
A lot of fans on Twitter were like going ballistic because they weren't feeding Martin. Well, the guy's not in football shape. What do you want to run him 20 times and him get hurt and he's gone for the year?
The point is that Winston was not having a good night.
He was not having a good night. Not until the fourth quarter.
So you've got to adjust to that.
Well, like you said, they had other running backs. And
in theory,
and I think some of Martin's rust really showed in the passing game. Now you can spin it however you want. Jameis threw him a couple of balls that went through his hands. Martin, maybe they were drops. They were both little high throws, but they were evidence of rust on Martin and either being a little out of sync or just rusty or whatever. He didn't catch him. And that might've tied into some of it. I think that's something to watch going forward because on third down this year, Charles Sims has been good on third down. They like his pass blocking. Quiz missed a pass block on a blitz tonight. Jameis got clobbered, but he's been pretty good on third down as well. The pass blocking has not been a problem for Jameis. So Martin, hopefully he gets, if he becomes a first and second down back in this offense, that just makes things less creative and limits them a little bit. So
okay.
We'll see, but a good start for him. Good start. No. Arizona's rushing defense, they allow 3.4 yards a carry
That's
per
very
game.
Stingy. Very
New
stingy.
England coming into this game was 5.1, second worst in the league. So it was a nice game for Martin.
I thought the Bucs pushed them around in the first half in the ground game.
They did. They really did. The Patriots handed this game to the Bucs on a silver platter, and the Bucs threw up on it. Largely because of Jameis and no offense for the first 3 quarters. Generally, I don't believe he scored a touchdown. Largely on Martin's feet.
But Steve, overview 2-2 based on what this team's done franchise in the last 5 years. It's not terrible. 2-2 could be better. They could have lost the Giants game, and they probably should have won tonight. Maybe. So I think I said it again. They've gotten what they deserved. They're 2-2. They've played like a 2-2 team.
Now, let me hit you with two more, Ira.
I got 2 items for Ira as well.
This is on the fans. The fans are really killing Jameis right now. They're upset. They're pissed off. Some of them are going back to Josh Freeman saying, well, Freeman had it down in his second year. Jameis is still not what Josh Freeman was in his second year. He's not sharp. He's this, he's that. Do you have any concerns about Jameis at all?
Well, to me, the saving grace is his intangibles. The leadership, the charisma, the competitiveness, all off the charts.
Most of which fans don't give a damn about. And
well, I think they all matter. Because
I agree with
he
you.
He wants to be great.
Yeah,
he does want to be great.
Fans are just looking for results. They don't give a damn.
His mechanics don't look – they don't look very good, Steve. His mechanics don't look very good. His ball sailing high, which they did as a rookie, you think you'd work with that. Look, you draft and develop. And I wouldn't give him – I wouldn't give the Bucks high-flying marks on development right now with Jameis Winston.
I have said this many times in the past. I know this – rankle Steve, because this the gentleman's name I want to bring up is a Jersey boy. I just don't see the value of Bajakian. I really don't. I will contend that the Bucks, or maybe it was Whitfield, his personal passing coach when he right before the draft, George Whitfield, somebody monkeyed with his mechanics. Because I guarantee you go back to his college days, he was not this bad on deep balls. Now he had a baseball windup. They made him more of a quarterback, NFL quarterback throwing motion. And I think that might have messed up his accuracy. They messed with his mechanics. You know, sometimes you leave well enough alone. I was in person, saw with his own eyes. His very first game in college, when he damn near threw a perfect game, he had, trust me, no problem throwing a deep ball.
Maybe Cutter's got to think about spending even more time hands-on with Winston. I think he thought about it a lot in the offseason, made some moves administratively to take some things off his plate. Maybe it's not enough, Steve. Look, he flourished as a rookie in 2015. The offense was tremendous, franchise record breaker, and Jameis was a rookie. And they've regressed a little bit since then, even with all these weapons.
Name a quarterback he's developed.
I understand.
And I can't think of the guy's name, but he went to Bennett Academy High School in Lyle, Illinois. He played for Bajakian, I think was a coach at Western Michigan. That's where he played his college ball. He was with the Bucks, had a cup of coffee with the Bucks, not this summer, but last summer. I can't think of his name for the life of me. Dumbig knows all about him because Dumbig used to win money on him. But that's the only guy I could think of that he had developed. His resume is thin as hell.
I'm still betting on Jameis Winston.
Yeah, the Bajakian has nothing to do with where he lives or where he came from with me and Bajakian. I just look at it this way. Cutter played quarterback in college. He is a quarterback. He's the son of a coach. He's been coaching and developing quarterbacks
for
a long time.
His son was a quarterback, right?
A quarterback. But whatever, he's developed many NFL quarterbacks himself of different styles and varieties. And he renewed Bajakian's contract. Bajakian was handpicked by Lovey because he was on Lovey's staff in Chicago. He handpicked Bajakian to coach Jameis for Cutter in 2015. Bajakian coached here 2 years. And then Cutter said, I love this guy. He's doing everything I ask him to do. So he's back for 2017. So to me, Cutter's the guy responsible for what's going on with Jameis. And I just think Cutter's the guy telling Bajakian what to do and how he wants his quarterback developed. So as I can't hang it on the QB coach. I just think the QB coach is doing whatever the head coach is telling him to do. And he renewed his contract. So that's on Cutter. If he didn't like him,
right,
he shouldn't have brought him back.
The quarterback that the world-renowned quarterback that Mike Bajakian is hanging his career on is none other than Dan LeFever. I rest my case about his resume.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have.
What's the other point you want to touch on?
Other point here. Of course, you caught me. I was busy Ira visiting Ed Morse Cadillac, Brandon.com. And Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa.com. I was thinking you would look great in a new ATS. You know, always fantastic lease deals on the
I'm
ATS.
Always open to it to negotiation.
I see you in a two-door, but how are you going to get little Dante in the back seat? You'll have to finagle him back there with you, your groceries.
Yeah, you know, you tie him on the roof and you see what happens.
There you go, Mitt Romney. All right. So, Lee, what did you have for Ira?
Oh, man, I had two things. I can't remember one
of them. Can't remember either of them.
Here we go. You know, I was like, I think our listeners Well, I know our listeners like to hear your stories. Otherwise, you wouldn't be above George Stephanopoulos on Google Play. And we didn't get a chance to do it before the game. So, you've got it. You used to cover the Giants back in their heyday.
Yes.
You've got to have a Belichick story. Not recently. We all know about the Sapp story. You've recounted that on your podcast before. You've got to have another Belichick story somehow, some way, somewhere.
Well, I think the one thing that jumps out at me about Belichick as an assistant coach, and that's where he made his bones with Parcells, is the tremendous game plan that they had in the Super Bowl, which was in Tampa at the Sombrero, against Buffalo, the wide right game with Scott Norwood. And here's the reason I say that.
Against Jim Kelly and the Bills.
Now, you know the Mad Dog Kills Me with Marv Levy or whatever, and that he lost all four Super Bowls. And my response is always, well, three out of those four he lost to a better team. The only one that's different is the first one. They were better than the Giants. Even Giants fans would admit that. Buffalo was loaded. Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed. That's three Hall of Fame players.
I think the time of possession when they had the ball 40 minutes in that game,
so
too.
So Belichick came up with this idea, and I think he told some of the writers and some of his defensive players that he said, if Thurman Thomas gets between 100 and 150 yards rushing, we're going to win the game. Now, that sounds counterintuitive. Well, what happened? Thomas had a very good game, probably had 140 yards. Mm-hmm. And I think Belichick was trying to say that the guy that they're worried about is Kelly. And, you know, with that speed-up offense, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't know, he flipped the whole thing on its head. Where normally you say, "Hey, we got to stop the run and you know make them one dimensional." Mm-hmm. Belichick flipped the script and said, "Thomas is going to get his. Let's clamp down on Andre Reed and some of these targets for Kelly, and that's going to screw them up." And sure enough, somehow, some way, with Otis Anderson, you know, pounding away, and like Steve said, time of possession, the Giants end up winning the game. When they had no business beating Buffalo. Buffalo had a heck of a team. Mm-hmm. And the Giants were good. Not great, but good. Mm-hmm. And so that's my Belichick. I think that game made Belichick's bones right there.
If I recall correctly, the only reason why the Giants made it to the Super Bowl was Roger Craig fumbled late in the game.
I believe you're right.
In the NFC Championship.
Because the Niners were going for a three-peat. And the game was in San Francisco, and the Niners were winning late
in the
game.
Yeah, they're running the clock out.
And they fumbled.
Yeah, they're running the clock out.
Roger Craig fumbled.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Taylor might have caused it. He might have. I don't remember. But the Giants got the ball, kicked the winning field goal, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning it all. Anyway,
that's my
Belichick.
Nobody cares about the Giants.
Oh, yeah, people care about the Giants. Nobody cares about.
So what about our next podcast, Steve? We could have a new kicker.
You seem to think we will definitely have a new kicker. I think so too. I not sure how you stick with the same guy, but again, the general manager can't pick a kicker.
If Cutter makes the call, I think it's going to be a new kicker.
If it's up to Cutter, the guy probably is unemployed right now.
You know.
When I say right now, it is, 2:30 in the morning Friday?
And Steve says Nick Folk should go, get a ranch somewhere and ride off into the sunset.
Live a happy life.
Yeah, he's got a lovely wife. Yeah, new
nice
kid
kids.
On the way. Everybody's happy. I'm not going to go there. All right.
You got 52 guys watching what you're going to do here, and you got to do the right thing.
Last two things, Kaufman. One.
Two more things?
Well, I found my one, and then I had one other one for you.
Jesus, 2001 Space Odyssey just closed down. We're here so late.
Last call.
And you would know their timetable how.
Well, I'm going to pass it on.
You got more quarters in your pocket. You got more quarters. All right. You said you wanted to hear Cutter say it, that Jameis isn't getting it done. And you know what? After last game against the Giants Sunday, Cutter did say that when the discussion went to DeSean Jackson and his frustration. Cutter said he should be frustrated. His quarterback's not getting him the football, which I thought was a clear slap at Jameis. And, I mean, look, Jameis is the franchise. What's he going to do? He's got to keep coaching him up.
I like that Cutter doesn't coddle him, Lee. I like it.
He knows he's 23 years old. He doesn't coddle him, and they gotta figure it out. But I think some of it comes back to what you said. This is the first time you saw DeSean Jackson's explosive speed in the open field. four games in, I don't think, or excuse me, yeah, four games in, it shouldn't be the first time that
that's
we
right.
saw that. So that's
right.
on the play caller. Find a way to get this guy the ball. Last thing, Ira, state of the team. I know it's 2:40 in the morning, and we got another podcast coming up. But as you sit here now, the people listening to you, the hardcore fans who've made it through this podcast, they want to know what you think of this team right now.
I'll tell you exactly.
Now,
what
you
I think.
Picked, you called this a 10-6 team.
Yes.
Going into the season, do you still feel this is a 10-6 team?
I do. Look, they've played some tough teams. At Minnesota's no picnic. Just played, the best team of the last 15 years in the NFL, the New England Patriots. Still have Brady and Belichick. Brady's still playing at a high level. They are what their record says they are. Lee, this is the perfect example. They've played to a 2-2 record. And that any Buck fan that says, they should be 3-1, I don't agree with that. They haven't played good enough to be 3-1. They've played okay.
Yeah.
Now, to make my prediction true, they got to go 8-4. It's a tall order. But
they get
I think this, they get some guys back. Schedule softens a bit. They're going to be on the road a lot. They are going to be on the road a lot. Only two of the next 8 weeks, I believe, are home games.
Jameis is not a good road quarterback.
And but you're not playing Tom Brady every week. I expect those linebackers to be back. They make a massive difference in this defense. You saw what they did when they were available in week one. I mean, they swarmed. They were everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
David and they finally proved they can win one game without Quan Alexander. One. You know, he's missed how many? Seven. I believe seven games with the suspension.
They've
won one, right?
Yes.
They've won one. So I'm pinning my hopes on one other thing. Jameis Winston will play better. He knows it. Cutter knows it. And they're going to get a new kicker in, and that'll help too. I'm not backing off my 10-6.
I'm not asking you to back off. I'm not asking you to back off.
The only thing that worries me about
you got to get off the ledge over there, DeKemp.
Well, I'm not on the ledge like I was at Minnesota. That spooked me, seeing how those guys were just physically beaten to a pulp. That freaked me out. But the cautious – this is not ledge, but this is the word of caution. The Bucs, two wins – come over teams that are, what, combined 1-7?
Yeah.
And I can say this about the Bucs. There's a pattern here. This year, there's a pattern. Through four games, fast starts. When they had fast starts, they won. When they didn't, they lost. It was real simple. Chicago, fast start, largely thanks to turnovers. Last week, Giants, fast start, they won. There was no such thing as a start tonight, unless you consider the fourth quarter a start. And, of course, Minnesota goes without saying.
By the way, one more thing we didn't mention. It's worth mentioning. Third downs have become a problem on both sides of the ball. Not too bad on defense tonight on third down.
Not tonight.
But on the season, you know, they're 48% or something opposing quarterbacks, and that's not nearly good enough. Last year was 34. They led the league. They're really struggling offensively on third down. I don't believe they made one till the late third quarter. Something like that.
Yeah, no, really.
That's keeping the defense on the field too much, Lee. It's not fair when you're playing Tom Brady.
Yeah, no real rhythm to the offense till it got frantic late. And, they had one really great drive with Doug Martin, and then there was really nothing after that. Difficult. But, you know, the defense, fourth quarter, late. They forced two punts late. I mean, to do that against Tom Brady and the Patriots and all that
and
smarts.
Even after the onside kick. They make them kick a long field goal.
Clamped them down. I mean, it phenomenal, big-time clutch defensive play by the defense tonight, yet not enough.
Brady's an assassin.
He
thrives on making that third down play that's going to kill the game and run the clock out. He does that all the time. He didn't do it tonight against the Bucs. They made him settle for that field goal and gave Jameis one more chance.
All right, Ira, so you helped out the masses. You told them you still believe in 10-6. You soothed everybody, and I think you soothed us here. So thank you for your sage wisdom.
Look out, iTunes. I don't care what you call it. I'm coming after you. I'm totally motivated now based on the Kemper stumbling onto this unbelievable thing with the podcast.
So you're saying Pulowski?
And I got to give you guys a little credit too, just a little bit, for helping me out on this podcast. keeping me agitated, on edge. So keep it up.
Keeping you agitated. Should Pulaski be sweating?
Well, of course, that goes without saying. He sweats in the winter.
All right, get out of here, Aaron.